Guys, welcome back to another episode. Nick, you just saw our house. What's your first impression coming in?
What? Just an explosion.
Explosion, right?
But I like it. Yeah. I like it. It fits the vibe.
It's a creative workspace.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we work right next to where the explosion looks like it happened. So, you know, it's kind of it's like the artistic look. It's mm-hmm. like the creative mind look for
the
house.
Solo cups really just like.
Well, they make it look, because we drink just like water in solo cups because we just don't want to do dishes. So,
yeah, true.
How many dishes do you have to do, actually?
It makes a statement, though.
Like, how often are you, how much of your time is spent doing dishes?
You got to deep throat that.
I probably do an average of 1.5 hours of dishes a day.
Really? Just from all the cooking?
I've had days where I've run the dishwasher 4 times.
That's fucked.
Which is absurd.
It's hard for us even to run the dishwasher once, once a day.
Well, that's insane because, I mean, you're cooking so much. And doing the dishes is by far the worst part of cooking.
Mm-hmm. By far. Mm-hmm. I'm at the point where I'm just about to bring someone on to actually just do the dishes.
I think that makes sense. Somebody to pick up the food, do the dishes, right?
I have to.
Yeah.
It's the thing. It's actually what's giving me burnout.
Really?
Like, it's not like thinking of the content. It's the dishes.
Because there's people who, you know, like I think we're in this place too. You have a job, you work mm-hmm. at a restaurant, you cook dishes, and you look down the dish pit and go, I don't want to be doing this.
Yeah.
I want to be making videos. I want to be in LA. And then now you're in LA and you're doing the exact same fucking thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
You're cleaning dishes after you make videos. So nothing changes.
Yeah, I used to work at Chipotle and fucking wash the dishes for like 8 hours a day.
Right.
My hands would just be pruny as shit. It's the worst thing ever. So yeah, I'd rather sit on a podcast and just talk instead of doing that shit.
So wait, how do you say your last name?
DiGiovanni.
DiGiovanni. Okay, very nice. And we've been seeing you all over TikTok. You're known as like the huge TikTok chef, right? The first one we ever met was QCP. Mm-hmm. He's very different than you are, though. How would you describe like your content, like who you are?
Who I am on TikTok?
Yeah, yeah.
I just try to make cooking fun and cool. Honestly, I think that's one of the reasons behind the knife throw too, which everyone seems to associate with me, obviously, mm-hmm. right? That's the big thing behind it, is just trying to make cooking cool. And I toss jokes in there and I have a lot of fun. And actually QCP is a good example of someone who does the same, right? But yeah, I think it's just all about making cooking cool. I mean, you know, growing up, we've all probably done something that we've gotten made fun of for doing when we're younger or whatever. But
sure.
But cooking was actually one of the things that I got made fun of as a boy, cooking all the time, mm-hmm. right? But now it's something that you can make cool.
Yeah, you can actually make it a cool thing. Like, you can play that macho kind of character, which previously was more like that's what Q's doing, mm-hmm. that's what you're doing. It adds a different spin to it and actually makes it really cool. Mm-hmm. It's not just seeing, like, the same people on all these different shows. But while we were looking into you, we discovered how insane your life's been, how, like, not typical it is. We would assume you just started TikTok, you blew up, the videos got better.
Yeah.
But, dude, you went to fucking Harvard, then you went on MasterChef. Like, dude, okay, take us from the beginning. What's the story of, like, being in Harvard and choosing to then, like, explore something different?
Yeah, I mean the craziest thing about that is that I was at Harvard. I'd worked really hard up until then. But well, I actually used to not do well in school at all. I used to be terrible in school.
In high school?
Wow. Yeah. Oh yeah. And before that, I was like B's and C's, right?
Okay.
Like just I was not doing well compared to at least my brothers and whatever. And so I ended up working really hard towards the end of high school. Did well in high school and then got into Harvard. And I had no idea what I wanted to do. Even right now, I actually still don't entirely know exactly. I don't have a title for anything, right? It's mm-hmm. kind of fun to have it that way, though. But at Harvard, they had about 50 concentrations. They had 49, actually. And I couldn't pick a single one. I just couldn't. I kept putting them down. I'd list them all out, and I'd kind of knock them off. Some were easy, right? I'm not going to be doing dancing or history.
Right,
like, there was
right.
some stuff that I knew right away, right? But then it would come down to some stuff like environmental science and other stuff. And then I was able to just create my own thing with food and a little bit of environmental science kind of in there. And
and
I basically got to study food at Harvard, which was kind of cool.
Really? Okay. So it was like food science? Is that what it was?
It had some food science in there, but it was basically just this hybrid between food and environmental science.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get what you mean.
Which is kind of cool.
Like how, like when you got like when you got like, was it initiated into like Harvard?
Accepted
into Harvard? Like what was like the family fucking thinking? Like right right when there, you got like the email where you guys are all going crazy, because there's usually like those videos of the kids or whatever, like looking at the acceptance letter or whatever.
Or they're devastated, yeah, they're right? Devastated, if they don't get mad, in, right? Like, they're done.
Did you do one of those videos of like just like setting up the camera and just waiting to get accepted?
That's a good question. Yeah. Those videos are so classic too, right? Yeah, like the whole family behind the kid, and then either they start crying or they all go crazy.
Kind of fucked when they don't get in.
You didn't get in, you just throw the knife at the camera. You're like, fuck this.
Yeah. No, I believe it or not, my dad, my parents are just, you know, they always had high standards for us. And so I actually remember exactly what happened. I came into the house, it was 10 p.m. or something, and I was like, hey, I actually had found out a couple hours earlier that I'd gotten in. And I came into the house and they greeted me at the door because they knew I was supposed to hear some stuff about college soon. Yeah. And I was like, hey, I got into Harvard. And it was honestly kind of like a, like, great job, buddy. You know, I got a hug, and that was kind of it.
Nice little pat on the ass.
That was it.
Shit, kid.
Good job.
Right? Yeah, that was it. Okay. But that was fine. I mean, I was okay with, like, not... I didn't go crazy myself either. I just have never gotten super hyped about things like that. Okay. Even though you should. But
you should, yeah.
I don't know.
It's the most prestigious school in the world.
Yeah, it was good.
I mean, I was hyped when I got accepted into Bellevue Community College. And you don't even have to apply.
When you figured out how to do the sign up, you're like, Mom, I figured out the sign up.
I figured out the sign up. I got accepted.
I'm getting in.
I'm getting in.
So, how many years did you do there?
Four.
Okay, you went all the way.
Yeah, but you know what the craziest part about it is that I left to MasterChef my senior year. So I had gone to a local audition. I'd made some ravioli. I just figured, why not? Like, fuck it. I'm just going to go for it. And so I went to the audition, and I kept moving along the casting process, and then they eventually told us about the timing, and I was actually supposed to be, I was away for 3.5 months, and during my senior year, it wasn't break or anything like that. I just left Harvard for 3.5 months my senior year. So that was kind of, it got a little testy at the end because people started asking questions, and I wasn't showing up to class. I was just gone.
Yeah.
I didn't tell anybody. I just left.
Really?
I just left.
Because you really wanted to explore cooking, or was it just opportunity?
I was like, I have to do this. I just have to do this, you know? But I ran the risk of not graduating. I mean, I squeezed it out, and I came back, and I somehow figured it out. But the rules on like all these reality shows are pretty intense, right?
So what point of that was like they're filming it in the hotel, like the lobby is they built one of the conference rooms as the entire MasterChef like set. How does that work?
No, we would go from the hotel to the set every day.
Okay, I get what you mean. Yeah. It would be in LA and they'd go film.
We would film from like 4 a.m. till pretty late, and then I would get back at like sometimes 11 p.m. or whatever, and I would just work on this thing.
Wow.
How real is MasterChef?
I mean, like honestly, it's like any reality TV show, so you don't know what goes on behind the scenes, right? Mm-hmm. But I think most of the eliminations I saw were like it's you can see the show. It's not like they can really fake someone not cooking a piece of steak, mm-hmm. right? So those things are pretty obvious. He cuts into it. Gordon cuts into it. He's like, "What the fuck is this?" Whatever, mm-hmm. and that's it, you know. I mean, with any reality show, there's going to be stuff that goes on. Yeah. I thought it was pretty good for what I imagine most of it's like.
But
you know?
So like the producers aren't writing in like, okay, Tina, you're going to undercook your steak today. Like
it's not like that.
You can't do that. Like
I was just curious. I feel like people just like don't really know. No. Sometimes reality TV is so staged, mm-hmm. like it's insane.
No. And everybody that was working on the set was I loved all of them. I thought it was, I had this, you know, being from New England too, I had this kind of idea that everybody in LA was going to be like this kind of stereotypical, LA person. I don't know what I think that means, but I didn't think just it was like necessarily really good a good thing.
Yeah. Just really good at being a chef or like,
no.
I
thought all the producers, I thought all the producers were going to be like fake and I don't know. Yeah. I just listened to what people said about people in LA and then I showed up and they were all just the nicest people ever. It was great.
Yeah. There's still a good amount of that though, for sure. Yeah, I'm sure that exists. I'm glad that MasterChef isn't the case, but
no,
like,
it was amazing.
A lot of them are pretty cutthroat. And they just want the job done. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn. Okay.
Well. Yeah. Sorry, my bad. So did you actually win MasterChef or
no?
You just got to the final, right?
Yeah. So I made it to the final, and then I made it to the final, and then it was. I was about to go to the dessert round, and they like cut me before that. So
yeah, people were upset about that you got cut. Yeah.
People
like,
were mad.
Yeah, because you were young. Like you were one of the youngest people on that show at that point.
Yeah, So at that point, I was like the youngest ever finalist, right? So people were excited for me for that. Yeah. And then And then they cut me right before I could cook the dessert round, which they had never done before. So it was that big twist, whatever. And yeah, it was, but it was great. Okay, yeah, I mean, yeah, it was great.
And what's amazing is people are used to like Gordon Ramsay and the other chefs, like just really like being aggressive about the meal, saying this is trash, this is trash. You had a lot of moments where people really enjoyed what you made. Like, what is that when we talk about like reality shows being kind of fake? When you see Gordon come up to your meal, right? The chefs come up and try it. What's that feeling? And then you see him be like, this is good. Gordon Ramsay just told you what you made is banger.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was
banger. Is that not a great choice of words?
Yo, this shit's so banger.
This shit is banger. Solid.
Dude, this shit's over the top banger.
Getting his approval.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows him as the, I don't know what you'd call him, but he among other things, is probably the world's harshest food critic that we all know of, right? Yeah. And so him walking up to your dish, that's pretty intense. Yeah. But like you said, for him to walk up and say anything positive about it is pretty cool. And you had a lot of people that they would get like way too excited about it, right? Like they'd start like shaking after and all this stuff when he talked to them. And I was like, all right,
it's not that cool.
Right. But no, it was pretty sweet to just be able to cook something and have the guy eat it right in front of you.
Did you guys like all meet him like before the show?
Yeah, he was super cool, actually. Oh, yeah. And the coolest part about it was that the further along that we got, he would kind of hang out with us more, you know,
yeah.
Which is cool. It's not like we were sitting at home after and like having beers with him, right?
But that'd be way too cool.
That would be too cool. Insane. That would be too cool.
I think that of people to have beers with, Gordon Ramsay would be a pretty cool
top one.
That's top five.
I think so.
Or Guy Fieri.
Guy Fieri would be pretty sick too.
Guy Fieri would be sick.
You know Guy Fieri slams brews.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like Gordon Ramsay would be just a cool guy to just kind of like just kick it with. Yeah. Like when he's not fucking screaming in your face.
But he'd probably like taste like a beer and like just cuss at it.
Yeah, I think he'd be pretty strict about what he was tasting.
Yeah,
he was just more open about hanging out with everybody as time kind of went on, and he made more of an effort to just kind of, you know, talk to everybody. That is the first question that I get every single time that anyone wants to ask anything about MasterChef. Right. Yeah. What was Gordon Ramsay like? Yeah. That's the first question every time.
That's like going to American Idol and one's like, what's Simon Cowell really like? Yeah. So people want to know, is he really that intense, like off TV? Okay.
No, I have like a, just really quick, I have this one story actually that, we were in London towards the end because we traveled to London towards the end of the show, and I was freezing because they dress you in whatever they want. I mean, they'll put you in whatever they want, right? So I was wearing this kind of, they were trying to make me out to be kind of the preppy, you know, college kid or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I had this button-down shirt on, and it was freezing. It was 40-something degrees, and it was so cold. We were there the whole day in this castle. And I remember towards the end of the night, I was shivering. I mean, I was just, my hands were pale, and I was shivering. And he actually, he starts swearing out of nowhere, like cussing. We were off camera. He starts cussing out of nowhere. He's like behind me. So I turn around and he's like trying to find someone to rip a jacket. I guess it's kind of mean in one way, but he goes and rips the jacket off of one of the other producers or whatever. And like runs up and throws it on me. He's like, this kid's fucking freezing. He's going nuts. And I was like,
that's sick. You were like the favorite.
Let's go.
I was like, that's nice. But he also just took the guy's jacket, but he put it on me.
Yeah.
But no, I always thought that was actually a cool story. Because he is genuinely like he's a nice dude. Cool.
That's funny as fuck.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any of the crazy stories from like going to England? Like that's got to be insane. Flying out for the show. Have you ever traveled overseas before that?
I traveled overseas. Okay. Yeah. But no, that was really crazy. They moved the craziest thing that I saw at the end. I remember the numbers because it was just so absurd. Mm-hmm. Was at this castle. The episode had 4 contestants and there were 120 crew members or so.
Holy shit.
It was just insane. I mean, just a sea of crew members behind this and doing all sorts of crazy stuff. And then 4 of us. And I was like, wow, that's TV.
Yeah,
it's TV. And you got like the treatment where you have to, you're in like the trailers and everything, the makeup, everyone's taking care of you. Because there's only 4 people and 120 people making sure that you guys are doing it really well. It runs.
Yeah, you got hair and makeup. I was always that guy that was trying to dodge makeup because I was like, I don't want any makeup. Yeah. I just like didn't want it. And I was just thought I looked weird in the mirror with it on. So I was always trying to just, they were like, hey, Nick, have you done your makeup? And I was like, and they knew I hadn't. But no, you got the whole treatment, right? You got the hair, you got the makeup, you got the, it was weird to throw a bunch of ordinary people into that. Yeah. Right.
Wow. Yeah. What were the other contestants like? What was their typical background?
I mean, this is the craziest thing, right? It's like day one, when you get there, when they have 80 people or whatever that they've already narrowed down a lot, right? Mm-hmm. From that year, I think it was 20,000 people at the start, and then they narrowed it down to the 80, and then it goes to 40 to start the show, and then 20 a day later. You see some you see some characters.
Oh, really?
It is a weird. It is a weird hotel lobby. It's just a weird lobby.
Do they all go like drink after like the show at all? Like you guys like it's hang just, out and drink?
I mean, you can pick. You can like pick any configuration of a human in your head right now, and that person, one of them, will be there, right? In this in this collection of people down in the lobby, it was just crazy, right? The first little bit, and pretty quickly they they sift out a few more people that are just wild, but but after that it I mean that was some of the coolest part. I mean that was one of the coolest parts of all of it was you meet a lot of really just normal and fun people. Yeah. You know,
are people hooking up? Like I feel like on like Survivor, I've always Survivor. As I started like watching Survivor as I was getting older, I'm like, these people are so definitely fucking. Like they're just out there, just, you know, just complete a good challenge and just like, you know, fucking win, and then they're like, you know what, let's go fuck. Like I just totally like see that happening. MasterChef, everybody's just feeling like extra you ready to go
the,
fucking
you
cook
the perfect steak.
Oh, your steak is just fucking wonderful. Perfect temp. And you're like, you know what, let's just go fuck.
I think there are super strict rules against that. And the other part of it is that you don't even have your own room key. So
what? I mean, what do you mean? They would have to let you in?
Yeah, I mean you. This is the same way I think on all these reality shows. And you can, you know, I'm not saying anything that's secret even because you can look all this stuff up. But literally, I mean, you don't have your own key. If you want to go to the gym, they have to let you into the gym. I mean, you're in your room and you're in your room. And then if you're not, you're not. They track. I mean, you're just like, you can't do anything. You can't even pee without, you know, someone hearing you on the mic.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, because you're mic'd up the entire time. They can hear everything you're saying. That's insane. Okay. Yeah, that's intense. Wild. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So then when you're talking about all these like crazy characters, right? Because I have to imagine when you start with 20,000 people, they're looking for people that fit a certain... Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but you kind of fit that like college preppy, like you're saying.
There were a couple other kids. That's the craziest part, right?
Really?
It's like, let's just say all four of us are the college boys. Mm-hmm. We're there on day one. Mm-hmm. We know only one of us is going to be moving on, right? Yeah. It's awkward.
The character.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So we got like four like Berkeleys, right? It's like, okay, only one of them's going to make it because all four of you are way too similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay. So did you meet your doppelganger?
Yeah, they were great too. That's the funniest part is like those are going to be your best friends for the first 24 hours and then they're just gone. Or you're gone.
That's horrible.
Wow. It's sad.
Like war, but it's for fucking MasterChef.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the Hunger Games. Right. Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
What's the craziest person like character that you met like in the lobbies down there? Like what kind of... Were they just intense chefs or just super eccentric?
No, I mean, I really mean it when I say that you have someone just from every possible place, right? So just there's just a lot happening down there. There's people butting heads. There's just all sorts of stuff. And to be honest, it was just such a insane blur that I don't even remember. But I mean, somehow they have figured out a way to get people from all over the country in every combination of everything in that lobby. It's really a strange thing. It's just weird.
So weird. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, because I'm sure you knew a certain type of person that was in that, like Harvard, right? Like that's a very different kind of environment than to go into MasterChef where you have all, what's the main motivation in going to MasterChef? Is it to get that start of like notoriety or is it to get into like the biggest restaurants or the most prestigious positions?
I think, I mean, everyone does something different off of it. For me, it was just the thing where I sort of figured it was my last chance before finishing up college to just go ahead and say, hey, I did this, but also why don't I try to just cook for a full-time thing? Like, I don't know what most of the other, let's say TikTok cooks or social media chefs, I don't know what their backstories are, a lot of them, but it's not something that you can, I've always thought about this. You can't wake up and just be like, I'm going to be Gordon Ramsay someday. You know, no one can really do that. And you can't work towards that the way you can work towards being a pro athlete or whatever. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's the weirdest part of it all. It was my last shot to just say, hey, even though it was a hard decision to just actually leave school like that, I just sort of, it was my last, I had a job ready at McDonald's corporate.
Okay, I thought you were about to say McDonald's. It's like, that's a waste of your talent, dude. Like, you can cook a lot better than a McChicken.
I'd make a mean Big Mac, though.
I was thinking, that's like a waste of your Harvard degree. I'm like, wow, you just went to Harvard for 4 years and you're working at McDonald's. But I guess it's corporate.
Again,
that's super fucking Harvard. It's like I got a job at McDonald's. It's just you're working, like, to actually improve the McDonald's business opposed to...
I was going to be... This is the coolest thing ever, especially if you like McDonald's a bunch, but I was going to be driving around with a quota I had to hit every day or every month, and I was just going to be taste testing undercover at restaurants. So I was going to have to like go sometimes with a disguise or whatever too, because they'd start knowing who I am.
Yeah.
And they all tell each other who's, you know, that Nick's coming.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When do you think that job would get really old? Because like there's been
free food all the time, right?
But it's fucking McDonald's.
And you're driving miles for it, dude.
And like, dude, it's like, I mean, think about it. Like think. Because I probably eaten McDonald's 10 times in 1 week, yeah. max. Right. Yeah. And, you know, I mean,
that's a lot. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
I mean, yeah. We all more went to college. One? We all went to college.
10 like, times?
Bro, you think about it, dude. Literally $5 for 3 cheeseburgers. Like,
I mean, you start your week off like it's Saturday morning. You're like, wow, I feel like shit. Yeah. And then you're like, okay, I'm going to go to McDonald's for breakfast. And then you're like, okay, fuck it. Lunch is looking pretty good at 2 at McDonald's. And then you're like, you know what? Fuck it. Maybe I'll just go to dinner.
No, that's weird.
You wake up the next day on Sunday. Still hungover, and then you're like, okay, I'm gonna go get McDonald's again, and then the cycle just keeps on continuing.
I'm not on that.
10 times in 1 week is pretty understandable.
But I would have been doing more than that.
Yeah, you would have. You would have been.
And I'm saying that was a lot.
But you're getting paid for that. He's paying them for that.
Yes, yes. There's a big difference there. Yeah, that was part of the job. That was a perk of the job. Is like, I don't know how. I feel like they just put that in there to make it more attractive of a job, but part of the thing was like you get free unlimited McDonald's, which you would never want to eat more McDonald's outside of this daily, you know, visit.
Not gonna lie though, I could eat those hash browns like every single day.
They are
the
good.
Breakfast hash browns.
They I like good. The apple pies.
Those are gross.
I love the apple pies.
Those aren't good.
I mean, yeah. I like some of the fries are good. If you got a good batch, they're really good. I was doing a YouTube video the other day and I pulled up to McDonald's and I was going around taste testing fries at every place and I convinced the McDonald's employee in the window to hop in the car and taste with me for the day.
Really? Sweet. Did he know who you were?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that helps.
He'd seen one of the videos. But still, it was awesome. I literally got the guy to hop out with his headset.
That's what Yeah, wow. I was going to say, like, I think to wrap up the MasterChef conversation, I feel like you're in a position now with how big you are on YouTube and TikTok. They're going to invite you to be like a guest chef, like guest host, guest like a judge. You
guest know judge. Yeah. I mean, I don't.
Would you want that?
Yeah, I would do that. I would do that. There's always this really awkward thing between chefs and restaurants who can be super intense. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know, TV, social media, personality chefs. Mm-hmm. There's a big thing there where they just a lot of them. I don't think respect each other. Or a lot of it goes one way where it's like you haven't trained enough to call yourself a chef.
The amount of times that happens where like, you know, you kind of like butt heads with like like it would be, you know, a chef who like started Alex with Sean with magic.
Sean does magic.
Yep, magician.
Magicians hate him, but he's the most famous magician on TikTok. Alex Zemplesky says that photographers hate him. Mm-hmm. That's where he gets his hate DMs. Are people who lose their mind because he gets 12 million views on a TikTok doing photography, and they're like, "You haven't trained for 20 years.
Yeah.
I've been doing photos for the last 20 years."
Yeah.
I mean, then put one up and like get 12 million views on it, right? That would be my response, right? I think it's a lot of jealousy, but at the same time, I've gone and worked in several restaurants just to try to get some of the experience under my belt. So at least I can be like, oh, I have put in a little bit of the time and the work as much as I really can. But yeah, there's a big thing there.
Yeah, I get that.
You're just better than all of them.
Just the best.
You're just the best.
I don't know about that, but
how much of your food are you actually eating that you make? Yeah.
I mean, I lost 25 pounds through COVID of muscle. I was pretty big before. I was working out every single day, at least once a day. I wasn't as big as QCP.
He's
massive.
He's kicked the hell out of anybody. But I was working out every single day. This stuff just got me. It doesn't make that much sense because you'd think I'm still making all this food and then able to quickly kind of shovel it in. Mm-hmm. But I think the hardest part about it is there's days where I'll make a couple of TikToks and let's say they're all Christmas themed. I'm making candy canes and some other stuff. You can't eat any of that stuff. And I'm cooking the entire day. So I never eat anymore until usually 3 p.m. I'm just on a really terrible schedule. But I don't eat a lot of it, which is kind of bad. I usually give it away or whatever. Yeah. I don't throw it all out, but I give it away and I do what I can, but I don't eat a lot of it.
Okay. Do you get invited to a lot of really nice restaurants out here? Because there's a lot of people that want like you to come to their restaurant, right, and eat there, make a video about it, potentially, or post about it. Like,
before COVID, I was going to any restaurant I was eating for free, right? Every place I went. Yeah. But after COVID, it's crazy, right? But after COVID, I I can't, I just won't really do that.
Yeah.
I, yeah.
They're you know, coming back to business.
They got hit hard and mm-hmm. yeah, I think it'd be okay eventually. But the real thing is if you're a chef and you put all, you put in all this work, you get there in the morning, you stay till 2 a.m. and someone comes in and actually appreciates and loves the food, right? Then it's great. Mm-hmm. And I worked in this 3 Michelin star restaurant at one point and I got to see everything. And you have a lot of people in there that are coming in that are just super rich and they really don't care about, mm-hmm. they don't care about what's,
it's more about, the, it's more about like them. It's more about like the luxury experience.
Right? Yeah. I talked to some guy who was cooking in Aspen all the time for all these celebrities and all these super rich people. And he was like, I hated it because they were all just, this is his words. He said they were all on cocaine. Like they were all coked up. They don't even know what you're putting in front of them. He's like this, it was terrible. Right. He said he made the most money he's made doing anything ever with cooking, but he said it wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
Have you met Salt Bae?
I haven't met Salt Bae, no.
But damn, what do you think of Salt Bae?
But you went to one of his, in one of his videos, he went to one of his restaurants.
I kind of challenged the guy the other day on a YouTube video because I'm not a big Salt Bae fan.
What's your thoughts on Salt Bae? Is that real cooking or is that more like?
No, like well, thematic. I went to his restaurant and I did it for the video. I dropped money on some of the YouTube videos just because, you know, you're putting it in for people to watch and it's fun. And it's
you're
worth
make
it.
The money. I mean, you're
yeah, you'll make the money back.
Fucking
yeah.
Couple thousand views.
Yeah, but still, I mean, I spent $1,100 just on a small, skinny steak.
How many ounces was it? Because it didn't look that big.
It's tiny.
Because, like, it was like a 50, it was a 70-ounce tomahawk.
No, it was way smaller than that. This one.
Yeah, and like that was a big fucking steak.
Yeah. No, it was tiny, and it was $1,100 for a tiny steak.
Ooh,
right?
Not okay.
Salt Bae, though.
Of course.
It
says Salt Bae, so that makes it okay.
Yeah, he puts a little flag in it that says Salt Bae, and he has his employees come out and sprinkle salt on it off their elbow, and apparently that adds on $700-$800.
Jesus, fuck.
Was it good? It wasn't even like...
No, it was great. It was a great steak, but I, you know, they told me where they were even buying them from, and I could get the same. I could make the same thing for you with the gold plate and all that stuff for, I don't know, $75-$80.
Yeah, that's the difference. Because it's all about the experience of filming him coming up to your table. It wasn't even
him. And it wasn't even him. No, it was some random guy, which, like that, again.
Yeah, you should bring down the price a little bit. Yeah. Come on.
You should get a discount.
And it was interesting. In the video, you said, like, there was only 3 other parties in the...
It was empty.
Right? Which is so... At that point, like, you know, there's taco stands that I go to, and they're fucking packed every time
there,
right? And you're paying 75 cents a taco. So it's like, you know, what is the... I mean, obviously, you aren't grossing as much money, but, like... It's kind of a weird thing, like where, you know, if you aren't filling up restaurants, then like, what's the point?
It's just weird. I don't know. No one can afford, like, there are very few people I think that can afford to go to a place like that.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense to me, but.
Doesn't make sense. But taking money from the coked up rich guys that are going to pay anyway. That's the business.
And he did a really good job making this into something massive.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all he did. He was like spanking meat with his shirt off and he was going like this and he turned it into, you know, something huge.
Nice little show.
It seems like he's kind of changed. Cause he used to like really, like he was like the, you know, like kind of like the kingpin of all of that. Like back in like 2015 or something, like he was like actually like in all of his restaurants when like there wasn't as many and he was there, he was doing all the cooking, you know, he was like kind of like leading it. Now you don't really see too much of him anymore.
No, yeah. I think he just opens restaurants. He spends the first month in there. He spanks people's meat for them and he, you know, and then he leaves.
You take that out of context so much.
Spanks their meat?
Opens a restaurant.
Spanks their meat.
Clip that and just nothing else.
I don't know. I'm not the biggest Salt Bae fan. Yeah. I don't think any of those big time hotshot chefs like each other either. I think they all hate each other. In fact, Gordon and Bobby Flay hate each other.
Really?
It's a well known thing. Oh yeah, they hate. There's videos if you look up online, you should check it out. It's Gordon just. Gordon has challenged Bobby Flay a bunch of times and been like, all right, like come on, you. He calls it. He'll call him some pretty you know, take it a little bit far.
Yeah.
And there's a video of Gordon in a restaurant sitting there. He's like, hey, that little bitch Bobby's supposed to be here right now. And of course he's not showing up. He's like, Bobby, like I'm here right now. Where are you? You're, you know, whatever. They hate each other.
It's the egos, right? Like the chef egos.
I think so.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I can see Salt Bae and you in a boxing ring.
Oh, I can see it.
I can see it.
Have you seen him on Instagram? Like, have you seen how weird that guy is?
He's so strange.
Dude, remember the girl twerking at the restaurant?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Salt Bae was like,
did you see that? Did you see that video? Okay, it's like a video where, how do you explain it? Like, the girl comes up with her boyfriend, and the guy leaves the restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the girl is in there, and she starts twerking on, and Salt Bae comes in.
Shaking ass.
Then Salt Bae comes in and starts, like, pumping his fist, and goes, yeah!
Pumping his fist and, like, recording
her. Yeah, he's recording on his phone, and then she starts twerking all over him, like, way too aggressive.
Yeah.
And the boyfriend comes in and goes like, are you fucking kidding me? And loses his mind on Salt Bae.
And Salt Bae's like,
he's like, and he's got his little glasses
salt,
on.
Salt just falling out of his hands.
He's got his glasses.
Yeah. He's a weirdo.
Yeah.
Weird.
He has a lot of Instagram posts. I don't know why I know this, but he's running with his shirt off or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's tied around his waist. I feel so bad. I feel so bad for the guy's assistant or whoever's running behind him, because you can hear this guy panting behind the camera, like running up hills and mountains, and Salt Bae's just... Like, it looks effortless for the guy, too. Yeah. He's in such good shape, and he's just running, and he looks at the camera all sensually and all this stuff and looks back, and it's just weird. It's weird.
It reminds me of, like, David Hasselhoff was a chef.
Oh.
That's, like, 5'6". Doesn't look at all like David Hasselhoff.
I don't know why.
It's more like the serene nature of the run, right? Like, that's what it's about. Like the
slow motion.
Yeah.
Mm, okay. Yeah. I get what you mean.
So, kind of, like, speaking on... I mean, that wasn't a... 10 out of 10 dining experience for you.
No, that was like...
What has been your favorite dining experience?
Isn't that restaurant rated like 7-star or 5-star or 7 stars?
Salt Bae?
Yeah.
Nusra at the restaurant?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it has good ratings.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah. Well, you have to assume that people are going to go there like with like the highest standard of like... And then they're going to get like let...
You know what I think would be so much better... model for that is if it were just Salt Bae pop-ups, because I think everyone wants to go there once to try it. I'm never gonna go back. Yeah. I just wanted to go there once to try it and see Salt Bae whack a meat. If he just
you keep on saying
I'm sorry,
which is fine. But the first thing we're thinking of his.
I know.
Salt Bae to whack my meat.
I would love to just be able to. He would have such a great time just touring the world, you know.
Yeah.
And he could do it once every place, but. Yeah. I'm telling you that restaurant in Boston, it's not going to be around in a year.
Yeah,
it's just empty.
They explode in the first couple of months, and then people don't return. Not enough people have the money to spend at that restaurant, so they should just open it up for like 3 months, then open a new one in some other city far away.
Yeah,
right.
But you know, when you just have like, and I can't really sit here and say I have beef with Salt Bae. He probably has no idea who I am. But but you know, when you just kind of have beef with someone and like for no reason at all, I just don't vibe with Salt Bae.
I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. Talk about. So what's like your favorite dining experience?
What would you recommend?
That I've ever
10
had?
10 out of 10.
I mean, I honestly, it's kind of cliche, but I honestly think that those best experiences are usually the either hole in the wall type things, or for instance, I just went to Ecuador for a video a little while back where I was on a cacao chocolate farm, right? And we're going through Ecuador and going through this farm, and there's these just local women who have made these what was it called? It was this corn. It was almost like a tamale. I'm blanking on the name, but humitas it was called. Okay. Humitas. So these women had made this little corn tamale thing called humitas, and they opened up this what would that be inside? Like, what would the leaf be? I'm forgetting.
It's a banana leaf. It's like a husk of some sort, isn't it? Like
it might have been corn husks. Yeah. And they open up.
They do like plant. Some places do like plantains. Like the.
I think
like
it was corn husk.
Oh yeah, because like, I think like it a was banana, like the banana peel, but like then there's like plantains.
Yeah, they sat me down and they opened up this corn husk, and it was basically just a bunch of this really sweet. I mean, the most amazing corn I've ever tasted with this piece of cheese inside, and I ate it. And I mean, that's one of the. That's something that I'll always remember sitting there and tasting. Wow. And it cost me nothing. And I was in Ecuador, and I just, you know, you have to kind of get over the idea of it being like, I don't know, just not your traditional dining experience. Yeah. Right. But those kind of things are the coolest things ever. Wow. Right. For me at least.
That's sick. So wait. So I watched that TikTok. You just fucking say, hey guys, we're going to make some milk chocolate today.
Yeah.
And then literally the next shot, you're like, all right, let's go to Ecuador. And you're cutting down like, did you go there just for that video?
Yeah. I was there for like 48 hours. We had a couple people that were like, you know, helping make sure we didn't get, you know, get into any trouble because
kidnapped.
We were going through some kind of, I mean, they were like, take your necklace off, put your phone away, all this stuff. We had a lot of jokes about showing up, and then there being this just massive confusion where they were like, this is not a chocolate farm. Yeah. but yeah, that's been my thing. That's been one of my things on TikTok is like, and all of social media with food is like just taking it one step further. So with this frozen honey trend that you've probably seen, right? Everyone just chewing on frozen honey.
Yeah.
I was like, screw it. I'm going to go to a beehive and I'm just going to do it for the first time. I got a beekeeper suit. I went, and there's all these bees like attacking you from every angle. Right. It was kind of sketchy actually. I was a little bit scared, but, but I was like, I'm going to go, I'm going to get the honey myself from bees. I'm going to bring it back. And then I'm going to do the frozen honey trend. That's like kind of a fun thing to do, you know?
Yeah. And you know that like that effort's going to pay off because the engagement's going to be so much higher in the video. Mm-hmm. The views, the virality of it.
Everyone's doing the same exact thing. They're just tossing honey in. And you can apply this to everything, right? But everyone's doing the same exact thing. And so, you know, very simply, if I just take it the next step, like the bluefin tuna we talked about, you know, I go to the fish market and instead of just making sushi from a piece of tuna that I can get at Whole Foods, right? I get the entire tuna, you know? I think it's a fun fishing thing. I've done that. Yeah, I made a lobster roll recently and I went out and literally went lobstering. We put the bait in and we caught the lobsters and we did it, right? That's kind of my one of my things to do. You know?
Yeah. And that that's a huge thing. Like you have to that's a lot of money to go do those projects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also I feel like if you didn't study environmental science, you might not have that like kind of part of your mind as much, right? Because you know, I mean, it's so much better for, you know, like the environment and everything to go out and actually like hunt yourself and like do stuff like this, opposed to like buying from, you know, like in Boston, especially like the amount of like lobster fishing that goes on is insane. You know, if you're buying albacore tuna or whatever, it's all mass fish. It's not people going out and actually catching the fish. I don't know. I just think that's kind of interesting as well.
Yeah,
it's just like so much more authentic and like.
It's so much fun to know where your food comes from, right? I mean, it sounds kind of silly, but it's just and why would you go and fish for a tuna if you can just go buy it at Whole Foods? But
yeah.
But I mean, if someone else isn't going to do it, then I am, because it's so much fun, right? And it's great to show people this stuff.
All right, guys, for this break real quick, we're going to come back. We're going to try something very different. We're going to go cook something. We're going to let Nick go look into our kitchen and find something to cook. Let's check it out.
All right, we're back. All right, what are we doing?
All right, so we are going to make something for this this frat house here. I got the Wonder Bread.
The Wonder Bread.
Okay, I'm gonna go in with the Wonder Bread. I'm gonna get this. We don't have any washable, dishware of any sort.
No, like, it's all meant to be thrown out.
No forks, no knives, no nothing.
The best one, you ask for a fork, and all I could give you was a spoon and a knife. Yes. Here it comes back with a plastic fork.
So I'm actually gonna press the Wonder Bread down just a little bit here. Okay.
Okay.
This is just like a
salt-based version of beating his meat, but beating the bread.
Exactly. And then I'm gonna press this down and get it kind of. It's nice and malleable, which is good. Mm-hmm. Push this down all the way. We're working with what we've got here, obviously. And then I'm gonna do the same thing for the other side. Give me a second. Who's an end piece guy?
No. Anybody? One.
Okay. No one's an end piece guy.
Okay. I think that they should interview people who like end pieces and see if they're gonna be like a serial killer or not.
There's a lot of good. There's a lot of good food questions about like pineapple and pizza, end pieces of bread.
Okay, pineapple actually does belong.
You gotta talk on the mic.
Pineapple actually does belong in pizza.
It does. It's really good.
But, you know,
it's really good.
You like pineapple on pizza?
Pineapple.
Wait. What? But hold on. The other day I cut a pineapple and I used the pineapple as the crust for the pizza.
Oh, did you cook it?
It's fantastic.
Really?
That would be good.
So good.
Super polished.
Yeah. All right. So see this? So I've pressed out all this Wonder Bread. Okay. And then we have our banana. We're almost doing like a, like not a Bananas Foster, but like a banana. I don't know. Like, I don't know if there's a name for this. Like. Almost like a sweet banana empanada with like a nice like chocolate hazelnut
Very nice.
Sauce, you know?
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. I don't understand German and I've never spoken German and that sounded like German to me.
Empanada? I think that's Spanish.
No, it was just fucking, that was just not even English.
So I think I'm just going to wrap this up and this is going to look weird. Guys, you really aren't giving me a lot to work with here. This is the worst part. It makes it look like it's my fault.
All
right.
Yeah, so. Dude, we had all the materials available way before that you required to ask for. Kind of fucked up that you're not.
This is on my rider. This is all I had. Okay. All right. Okay, so.
Loving the manhandle of that.
Yeah.
Awfully schlong and shit. All
right, so this is what we got. We can always trim it at the end, right, to make it look a little bit nicer.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
We can kind of cook it in a more unpolished, you know, looking way. And then. Looks nice, right? It looks like a dog bone right now.
It does.
Okay. Now we got our portable stove here. Let's fire this bad boy up.
There you go.
Okay. And we get it nice and hot. Okay. Well, first things first is our butter. The tiny little.
He needs butter.
You guys gonna be good if I use the rest of this?
Use the rest of the butter.
Okay. So we're gonna use the butter. There's a piece of carrot in there. Is that cheese? That's cheese.
Love that.
There's a piece of cheese in our butter?
That's disgusting.
We keep all of our dairy products together.
Yeah. That's terrible. Oh, there's more cheese on the bottom. That's disgusting. See that? That is a piece of cheese right there. I already took one off, and that's another piece of cheese. That's disgusting. Okay.
I think it came with it, honestly.
That's when we buy it.
The cow made both types. So it was making butter and cheese.
It did.
Okay, so we're gonna mix this around.
Oh wow. Okay.
Just going for a second. Brown butter is one of the most delicious things in the entire world. So we can get a little bit of brown butter here.
Oh, so you like to brown it, like overcook the butter a little bit.
Yeah, we're just gonna brown the butter a tiny bit. So I'm gonna put that there because we don't want to use all the butter in one go because we don't have a ton. And then I'm gonna come here. We want to get this a little bit crispy.
Oh my God.
So get that a little crispy. I just want to get this nice and golden brown and kind of lock it up a little bit in there. And it'll be this banana inside this kind of like, I'm gonna turn this down. This is really hot.
I know, it gets warm.
Oh my God. Yeah, so is this yours?
It's my homie's.
Oh, nice.
Nice, it's nice camp stuff though.
It is nice camp stuff, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, let's not see that.
Yeah, see that? We should make sure it doesn't burn. This is so strange. So weird, but I really do think it's gonna taste good.
Oh yeah, it smells good.
A little more butter, okay.
If it doesn't smell good, if it doesn't taste good, we'll just drink the Captain.
Yeah, exactly. A little more butter. This is just like offensive.
Do you think this would be more expensive than a salt-based steak?
I think I could charge the same, yeah.
Mm.
I could charge a lot.
Have you ever actually made this?
I could afford an $1,100 price tag. Hell no. That's so weird. This is the strangest thing ever. This is one of the weirdest things I've ever made.
Mm. How are you going to integrate the Captain?
But I'm telling you, it's going to be good. You'll see. That's going to be the coolest part.
Okay.
The Captain, yeah. And I, like I said, I wanted to go along with the vibe that you guys have going on in here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what, you know, this is what I thought of.
Yeah, just, you know, it is. It's pretty winner. Perfect. Like, you think this is like weird, but we're going to make this tomorrow after, like, when we're just hungry.
Oh my God. All right. It's pretty hot right now. All right. Perfect. I just want to get like a little bit of golden brown color on at least three sides just so that it looks nice. And you hear that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's nice.
I see why the plastic fork was not going to be good enough.
No, yeah, that would have been really bad.
It would have been tasting a little plastic.
Okay, the banana is going to be all hot in there. Okay. All right, let's turn this off for a second. Oh, wait, put it on low. All right, so again, yeah, we could have, it would have been nice to have a, you know, plastic fork, but that's fine. It's not going to hold together super well, but it smells, It smells really good.
It does, yeah.
Like, it smells pretty nice, right? Mm-hmm. It smells good. That doesn't look amazing. It's not holding together perfectly, but this is fine.
It actually looks a lot better than I was expecting it to look.
Is it?
Yeah. Like, I was like, how the fuck is this going to work out? All
right. Now, I'm going to go in with this ice cream, okay?
You're putting the ice cream into the pan.
Okay. Yeah.
Making wow. Oh, my God.
You guys didn't have any cream or anything like that, so I'm making, like, sauce now. And see where you smell. Smell that.
Oh, yeah.
It smells good, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You betcha.
Oh, I need a lighter again, actually. But this is going to be a good sauce. Okay.
Burger King has a really special sauce.
I do. Careful.
Boom.
Thanks. Okay.
Eagle Scout Billy to the fucking rescue!
Really fucking speedy on the lights.
Alright, and actually, I'm going to put the fork to good use here. Okay. Turn this down a little bit.
Look at the composure we got right now.
Mm.
By me?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ramsey would be proud, man.
Ramsey really nailed it.
This is about the time where I'd be in the kitchen just running around like, oh my fucking God, we're done. Oh my God, it's burning.
Yeah, so that's good. That looks great. And then turn this down a little bit.
God.
The banana looks like shit. I mean, it really looks bad.
I've never seen ice cream cook.
Well, all the chocolate's melting and, right, it looks really good. Then we'll take half this little thing out, put some Nutella in there. Is it Nutella? It is, right? It's Nutella.
Nutella.
Okay.
Oh, you lost a stick.
Stick down.
All right. Edit that out. That's fine. Okay. And then this is like our chocolate kind of sauce.
Okay.
And then once this is nice and warm, right, we use a little bit of the Captain.
Oh, you put the Captain in at that point.
Yeah,
got
just
you.
To get like a little bit of flavor, right?
Right.
Super, keep it simple, you know?
It's like when your mom puts wine in the fucking pasta.
And you actually get drunk. Oh my god,
I'm down. Yeah, so we'll put a little bit of that. Might make
a little bit, puts a whole, like, the rest of it in.
Might make a little bit of a... Get it hot first.
Oh,
yeah. Oh!
Oh! Not bad, right?
Doesn't go out.
For audio listeners, a flame's coming out of the captain in the ice cream. Very intense.
And you can smell it, right? You can smell it.
I can smell it. It smells really good.
I actually give it, like, really good flavor, right? And then where's my spoon? Here. And then, I mean, we don't have the nicest setup to plate this thing, but, you know, we could, God, that looks...
I'm loving the versatility. Like, the versatility is just off the fucking chart.
It looks really weird, though, but honestly, like, what I would then do is
I'm actually just excited to try this.
I would just, like...
You meant something that looked like absolute dog shit? Like...
Really nice.
Like, you know, at starting form, like, look...
I mean, here. I mean, like, try the sauce, right? It's probably pretty good. Try the sauce.
What are those?
It's probably decent. Right?
That's amazing.
Is it good?
So good. Try the sauce.
Pan pass.
Rate the sauce.
Sauce rating.
Shoot.
8 out of 10.
8 out of 10?
Nice. Solid. Dude, sauce. I just love Nick's sauce in my mouth.
Oh my god.
Why is that good?
I know, that's what I'm saying.
That's fucking sick.
Tasty. Right? You know,
take some of Nick's sauce in your mouth.
Oh, dude, Nick's sauce tastes so good, bro. Dude, I want to straight from the source.
Never coming back here. This is, I don't know, you guys want to name this? Because I feel like you guys should name this. It looks kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's called the Brown Badissi.
The Brown Badissi.
The thing is, if you cut into it. If you cut into it, like, you could actually, the way that I would plate this if I was trying to make it really nice, probably, is you could, like, I don't know, you could, like, pour down the chocolate sauce on a plate and have it kind of in, like, a nice puddle.
Mm.
And then what you could do is you could cut, like, this, the squares of this out and, like,
yeah,
kind of...
Yeah, like a little sushi roll type thing?
You could do that, but you could, like, lay them, sitting up on the plate in, like, a little, you know? And it would actually probably look pretty nice. I mean, it's not going to be anything super fancy, but... And it's not the easiest thing to cut, but, like, I don't know, it probably wouldn't actually look that bad if you... It's like banana.
That looks good.
It's like banana sushi, right? And then you put a little chocolate on top, and it's probably pretty good. Yeah. Do you actually want to take a bite?
I would love to.
I'm really curious what this tastes like.
It's probably pretty good.
I can smell the banana too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'll sit up. Let's see it.
How's that?
Banana and Nutella is pretty great.
Let me put the mic in front of you. I'm just hearing this munching in my ear right now.
I would eat this entire thing.
Good?
No, I'm not kidding.
Oh, let me try.
Yeah, take a little slurp. Dude, that's fucking good.
Tasty?
No, it's like actually like really tasty. Like there's like a lot of like very good flavors working in that.
There's a lot of stuff in there for what we.
And you can actually taste the you can taste the hints of the rum.
Teeny bit, right?
Which is nice.
Yeah. I feel like I'm on MasterChef again, and I'm like waiting for you guys to all watch. It's the most awkward thing was like watching someone cut into it and like waiting for them to chew. It's just awkward.
That is so good. That's really good.
No, it's actually like really tasty. I would like order that.
Just order it and you'd hope that it would kind of come out looking a little bit nicer probably.
No, but
like, but what you'd really do, like we didn't have the best, I mean, we didn't have the most amazing setup. We didn't have the most amazing setup, right? But what you'd really do is you'd cut off the crust of the white bread and you'd roll it out with a rolling pin to get it really thin. And then you'd wrap it around that banana. Mm. And then you'd deep fry it or something. And it would be like this.
The Captain Morgan. Mm.
No, you can, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Whispers in your head.
It's not bad.
Captain Whispers.
What are we naming this? We ought to have a name.
It looked terrible.
What do we name it? Because it might have looked a little terrible at the beginning, but like it tastes good.
Why don't we call it like Captain's Banana Roll or something?
Boom.
Captain's Banana Roll.
Captain's Chocolate Roll.
Captain. What would you name it?
I was trying to think of something funny with Salt Bae based on our earlier conversation. I can't think of anything.
Better than a 1K steak.
Boom. Captain Morgan's banana.
It smells great.
It does smell great.
It's really nice. Right. It's actually a really tasty
you
thing.
You want to try it?
I'm good, actually.
Can I have some more? All
right, guys. That was a great episode. We've never done anything like that before. I hope you guys really enjoyed it. If you guys did, make sure to subscribe and follow Nick everywhere. It'll be linked down below. Do you are promoting anything specific right now?
No, I mean, I launched a salt company not long ago.
Oh, I want to talk about that, actually.
Yeah.
I saw it today.
Yeah.
I think that's super interesting because, like, nobody's actually, like, in... sorry, I got really excited about that for no reason. Like, that was...
People got pumped about it.
I saw it and I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, so what is that about? Salt company?
You sell it's like...
No one sells consumables, right?
Like, right, yeah.
Like, you know, seltzers and alcohols.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I was just trying to think of a product that would make sense with what I'm doing. And then I mean, salt you can do so many things with. And the salts are really, really good. So, like, if you guys decided... I mean, the coolest thing is, like, you guys could bring this black truffle salt into your kitchen, mm-hmm. and you genuinely could elevate so many things in a crazy way. If you guys have a grill night or a steak night or you're making burgers, you could just put a little bit on there, and you literally are, at that point, eating a mm-hmm. black truffle burger. It tastes... It's crazy.
Mm. Well, and it's such a smart business model because, like, the thing is, if somebody, like, really likes your salt, that's going to be the salt that they're always buying. Like, you know what I mean? Like they're going to be like, oh, I need more of this.
I mean, we sold out in 12 hours. Like,
and you, when you were like, promoting the salt, you were like really enthusiastic about it. Like, you actually like cared
about
the salt.
Because I was pumped about it. At first, this guy I'm working with has done an amazing job in the team that is working on it with me. But at first, I'm really strict because I was not going to sell a salt that wasn't really good.
Yeah.
Mm. And I actually, okay. I wasn't mean, but I was really intense about it at first. And I was like, this is terrible. Like, I want to try more. I was really intense about it. But once we actually started nailing down on really like, actually genuinely really good salts.
Yeah.
I was excited about it. And then because I was excited, like you said, everyone was excited about it. So yeah, we sold out in like 12 hours.
Wow.
Of a lot of salt.
And you're saying you just put on a burger and actually tastes like truffle after. It's like you made it with actual truffle.
They're expensive salts to buy, but they're also super expensive for us to actually make. Cause I've tried, you know, for that one, I tried 15 different kind of combos and types of black truffle salt that we could kind of do. And then I nailed it on that one. And it was one of the more expensive ones, but that's because I was like, I am not selling one of these synthetic fake things. So it's great.
That is epic.
And I love the, like the, you know, like the Himalayan pink salt that you can like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the shaver?
On like the shaver. Like, yeah, that's so cool.
There's so many cool,
Because like, I don't know, I feel like dads in the kitchen are all about like big dicking their friends. You know what I mean? Like big it's time. All like a, like if somebody's like out like grilling steak or whatever, they're like, oh yeah, I want to have like the biggest dick here.
Yeah.
So like, then they'll be like the spatula with like their favorite like NFL team or whatever. They're like, oh, you don't have one of these?
Well, have you seen, like, you probably have like the salt shakers that like, have you
the automatic ones? Yeah, we were going to start selling them for Osmo, but. The coolest thing is or what you're saying, I feel like when you go to a cookout and there's a ton of families there and a ton of dads, whichever dad is running the grill is like he's like the alpha. He's the alpha dad there.
100%.
It's the place to be.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. That's super. No, I completely blanked on asking about that earlier.
No, I just thought it'd be a really fun thing to do. I mean, I hope that tons and tons of people get it and it helps them to, you know, cook. And make food that they think tastes better. Because so many people are messaging me every day. My chicken's bland. How do I fix it? My whatever. And I'm just like, you got to season. It's not, okay, it's not that hard.
Where can they get it?
Where the salt?
Yeah, the salt.
I promote it all over, right? And we're actually coming out again, well, this Wednesday. So it's probably not relevant for this. But either way, it's I think it's going to grow really fast.
Yeah, you're looking to get into stores and stuff?
We got reached out to already by two of the biggest stores asking to carry it after day one.
Like, that's awesome.
Are you talking about like Kroger brands and stuff like that?
Yeah, I'm talking about like Whole Foods level. Like, damn. All, like a bunch of, yeah. That's cool. Yeah, that's a couple of places reached out right away, which is
crazy.
That's
where your tax bracket changes significantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
It's like Salt Man. Let's go. That's like you were literally coming after Salt Bae.
Oh, that's my slap in the face to Salt Bae. That's the nail in the coffin.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys, go check it out. All of Nick's links are being linked down below. Go follow him on everything. Instagram. Check it out. Find all that. Find the salt, man.
Yeah,
fuck Salt Bae. Go find the salt. All right, we'll see you guys next time. Peace out, guys. Peace. Woo!